Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, May 13th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Miss Debbie Hicks. Debbie is the financial director here at Mountain Brook Baptist, and I've been begging her to join the podcast. So today she's going to read for us, and then at the end of the podcast, she and I will have a time where we talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Debbie, for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me today. Today we're going to begin with Exodus 37, 1 through 16. Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. He overlaid it with pure gold, both inside and out, and made a gold molding around it. He cast 4 gold rings for it and fastened them to its 4 feet, with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. Then he made poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold, and he inserted the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry it. He made the atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. Then he made 2 cherubims out of hammered gold at the end of the cover. He made 1 cherub on one end and the second cherub on the other. At the 2 ends, he made them of 1 piece with the cover. The cherubim had their wings spread upward, overshadowing the cover with them. The cherubim faced each other, looking toward the cover. They made the table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Then they overlaid it with pure gold and made a gold molding around it. They also made around it a rim, 1 handbreadth wide, and put a gold molding on the rim. They cast 4 gold rings for the table and fastened them to the 4 corners where the 4 legs were. The rings were put close to the rim to hold the poles used in carrying the table. The poles for carrying the table were made of acacia wood and were overlaid with gold. And they made from pure gold the articles for the table, its plates and dishes and bowls, and its pitchers for the pouring out of drink offerings. We will continue now with Psalms 137. By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried, tear it down to its foundations. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is he who repays you for what you have done to us, he who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. As we continue on with 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 25 through 40. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none, those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as if they were not, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep, those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks he is acting improperly toward the virgin he is engaged to, and if she is getting along in years and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does even better. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God.
Thank you, Debbie, for joining the podcast. I want everybody to learn a little bit about you. I know that you grew up on a farm. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, yes, I did grow up on a farm in North Alabama. I have a very large family. I have 5 brothers and a sister, and we had a working farm. So we had cattle and pigs and chickens and the whole 9 yards. So it was fun.
Well, and I've heard you talking about your mom and cooking and all these things. What is one of your favorite foods and why?
Well, I actually love Mexican food, but growing up on the farm, we really didn't have a lot of Mexican food. But my mother was an excellent cook, so she taught me a lot about cooking. And as my nieces and nephews say, every week she made a pound cake, so we had everyday cake. So we always had pound cake at my mother's house.
Oh, my word. Do you still have that recipe?
I do.
How many sticks of butter are in that?
2.
Ooh. Okay, tell me about your husband, Dan, and your daughter, Sarah, and her husband.
Well, Dan and I have been married, I believe, 37 years now. So he's retired, and we have 1 daughter, Sarah, and she's been married about 3 years to Sean. And so we have a wonderful small family. Unfortunately, not a big one, but it's a wonderful family, and we're all doing well.
I have a very fun memory shared with Debbie and Sarah. We all went to the Ukraine together. And so Sarah has been reaching out to several people that we met in the Ukraine. Have you heard any news recently from them?
The latest we heard, I know one of the young ladies and her family made it to Poland, and her husband had to stay in the Ukraine to fight. And they are still in Poland. That's the last we've heard recently.
Thank you for that update. Now, I know that you are very active, and one of the ways that you stay fit is by playing tennis. And I've played tennis with Debbie, and she is quite good. So I want to know, how did you get good at tennis?
Practice, practice, practice.
When did you start playing?
I actually didn't start playing tennis until I was in my early 20s. Just met up with some people in Homewood, and we started playing. And then I played night league all these years while I've worked, and just found a great group of Christian women that I play with, and it's so much fun, and we have a great time, and they're great prayer warriors with me.
That's awesome. Debbie, how did you start working at Mountain Brook Baptist?
Well, interestingly enough, I was working for a public accounting firm when Mr. Bill Austin gave me a call and said, would I might maybe be interested in coming to work at Mountain Brook Baptist Church?
And how many years ago was that?
29.
Oh, wow. You've been here for 29 years. Tell me what you love about your job.
I love, number one, that it's a Christian atmosphere, and maybe tied with number one is all the people that I have met over the years and that I've become so close to.
Tell me on a daily basis, I know you do a lot of different things, but tell us just some of the things that your job entails.
Well, when I took this job, I thought, oh, this will be a nice, easy job. There can't be that much work to do in the church. But as I've quickly found out, we have every type of work known to mankind, payables, contributions, payroll, and in today's world, there are lots of certain things you have to do outside of what I originally started because of taking credit cards. There's PCI compliance, there's pop tests for insurance, there's just all kinds of technical stuff you have to take care of.
Debbie also does a lot with our computers, so she is involved in a lot of different areas, and we're really grateful for your work. I want to know, are there any observations that you have behind the scenes of the finances of the church, things that you would tell us about faithful stewardship?
Yes, there are so many truly faithful people here, and I've heard all kinds of stories from them over the years, and I've just seen God work when the church maybe thought we needed money, how all of a sudden we have plenty of money, we thought we needed money, and it just appears like magic. And I know it's not magic, it's all through God and His grace.
Speaking of the Lord, I want to hear how you came to faith in Christ, or maybe a little bit about your journey with Him.
Well, I grew up in a very small missionary Baptist church. I was saved when I was 12 years old, came to know Jesus in a very personal way, of course. And that church is still in existence, although I worry about it all the time. It is a very small church, and as we know today, it's very difficult for those people to provide what's expected of churches nowadays.
In your walk with the Lord, what is one time where you have just seen His hand?
Well, probably my most dramatic time was when my daughter had her horrific car accident and broke her back, and she could have been just as easily paralyzed as she is walking today.
Do you mind recounting some of that to us?
Well, she suffered a burst fracture of her L1, so just any little thing could have paralyzed her because she had all these fragments in her spinal cord. But the most truly amazing thing, she had her accident on Highway 280, and she would not drive Highway 280 for a while. So when she went back to Auburn the next year, I said, well, we're going to go down 280 because at some point you might have to. So I'm going to drive you down 280. And as we got to the spot where the accident was, there was a double rainbow across Highway 280. Like, we had to pull over and stop the car because both of us were just, as you can tell, I still cry when I talk about it. But it was truly a miracle in all ways in my life.
Thank you so much for sharing that. The reminders of God's faithfulness, that He was there with you and He wanted you to know that. Debbie, we are truly grateful for your ministry at Mount Brook Baptist, and I just ask that maybe you would close our time together with prayer.
Certainly. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just lift up praise to You in all things that You do for us. You are truly a magnificent and gracious and faithful God. We just ask that You forgive our many, many sins that we commit. And just be with us each and every day to just walk in Your faith alongside You and to reach out to those in need and just help us to be good stewards of this world and all that You give us. I pray that You bless Mountain Brook Baptist Church in a special way and all the ministries during this time of transition. All these things we ask in Your precious name, knowing through You all things are possible. Amen.